Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we are doing our last holiday movie, Home Alone 2, Lost in NY, New York.
New York.
New York, New York.
New York, New York.
Starring the ever wonderful Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin, yes.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yep. William Hurt.
William Hurt.
Yep. Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern.
Who can forget them?
And what's her face? Brenda Fricker.
Brenda Fricker.
So two Academy Award winners, by the way, in this movie. Joe Pesci and Brenda Fricker won their supporting actors in the same year, 1990. Him for Goodfellas and her for My Left Foot.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's all you need to know. The end.
Ta-da!
Ah. Go ahead. You got anything else on this movie?
On this movie?
Yeah.
No,
the other one that we're dropping today.
So, Home Alone 2 Lost in New York was, of course, a cash grab.
Kind of. I mean, yeah, it was a cash grab, but go ahead.
Well, okay, so I remember Home Alone, and I remember it playing forever at this theater that was up the road from us.
The first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember it would be like Valentine's Day, and they'd somehow twist the Home Alone story to go with that. And then it'd be like St. Patrick's Day, and they would talk about it. Like,
what?
They just kept showing Home Alone all the time, because people kept going to see it.
It was very popular.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, this was their way of saying, oh, hey, you know, let's capitalize on that.
Well, you know, we're here to make the Yuletide gay.
Yes.
Bright.
Yes.
And gay.
And gay.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Dumbing now a gay paro. It's time to drop the deuce.
Ew.
On Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. But you know what? Before we do that, let's take a few messages. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie.
How
did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And we're back.
And we're back, yeah. Check them out.
Yes.
That's give them a little present under their tree.
Yeah.
By listening to them.
Show how much you love their show by dragging it under the mistletoe.
Right, and kissing it. Don't eat the mistletoe.
No. You know, mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A kiss can be even deadlier.
Whatever, okay. We're not
you
doing
really
that
mean
movie.
It.
That movie did come out in 1992. This movie also came out in 1992. Home Alone 2!
Home Alone 2.
Lost in New York, so why don't we drop the deuce on this?
Okay. So it's chaos again at the McAllister
it
household.
They are walking around like it's an Aaron Sorkin special.
That's actually a good way to put it. They are They are running around like crazy.
They are.
They have their extended family there again. So it's like the uncle and all the cousins and all these people. Which I kind of – the first movie I kind of got because they were – you know, they were all going to go on some big vacation. But it sounds like in this one that the extended family is just mooching.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they mooched in the first one, but –
I'm assuming they did based off of this, but
there, besides Macaulay Culkin, there are some people in the kids cast who are important to take notice to. Correct?
Yes, there are.
Would you say?
Yes.
Most importantly, Buzz.
Buzz.
Right. Buzz is a guy that later on has done a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Some voice work. I remember him from an episode of Supernatural. Where they go because Supernatural became books in the show.
Yeah.
So they go to a Supernatural convention, and he plays Dean.
Yes.
In a Supernatural convention. So.
And his name's Devin Ratray, by the way.
Yeah, the actor?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so Devin Ratray also, I think most recently, he was in, for those of you who've watched The Tick on Amazon.
The Tick, yeah.
He was... he was in that. He played like the tinfoil hat Avenger kind of guy. But he's done a lot. Also, his cousin Fuller McAllister, is played by Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
And if you remember from this movie, and they make sure to reiterate in this movie,
Fuller likes to
drink a lot of soda and pee the bed.
Now, first movie, the endorsement was Pepsi, so he's drinking Pepsi. This movie is actually drinking Coca-Cola.
Yes.
So he's doing better because Coca-Cola is better than Pepsi.
Nope, he is doing worse.
No, he's doing better because Coca-Cola is better than Pepsi.
Oh, Pepsi's better than
Coca-Cola.
I mean,
they're both shit in my book, but Coca-Cola is better.
Pepsi better than Coca-Cola. Well,
obviously, you're wrong, so Coca-Cola is better.
They should have gone with the first
movie.
Okay,
let's continue going. One of the other cousins is also Big Pete.
Yes.
From The Adventures of Pete. Also, Coca-Cola is better than Pepsi.
And Pepsi's better. And you've seen a lot of, like, one of the sisters is, one of his cousins, she was in Step by Step. Another one was in The Torkelsons. Like, it's...
Another one was in, she played My So-Called Life. She was in love with Brian Krakow.
Yeah.
She had a crush on Dila, I think was her name.
Yeah.
God, why do I know that? Okay. Anyway, she was in that, so... It's good to notice that these kid actors have done other things as well.
Yes.
Not just this movie, so.
Yep. So they are getting ready to head to Florida for
all
vacation.
All drinking Coke because it's better than Pepsi.
So they're all going to Florida wishing they had Pepsis. And
but they know they have to do Coke because Coke's better.
Because
that sounded really bad.
That's
like
what
they're
you
all
do
doing
in
Coke.
Florida. Is you
all
do right. Coke.
You do Coke in Florida.
So everyone's there.
Tootsie. I'm doing Tony Shalhoub in Primary Colors. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. Okay. So Kevin is up in his parents' bedroom, staying out of the fray, and he's watching a game show.
Oh yeah.
A fictional game show, which I've unfortunately learned. I wish it was real.
Yeah.
It was called Ding Dang Dong.
No, it was Celebrity Ding Dang Dong.
His Celebrity Ding Dang Dong.
You gotta get that right, meaning that they had a Ding Ding Dang Dong version, and then they made a Celebrity Ding Dang Dong.
Yes.
So, whatever that means.
But it's pretty popular. I think a lot of times people spend time on the internet looking for Celebrity Dong. But
Okay, whatever.
Boom.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hosted by the one and only...
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker.
At least the voice of Bob Uecker. Yes. Does he even say his name?
I don't think we ever saw him, but that's okay. No. Who did the Newlywed Game?
But
not Bob Eubanks.
Not Bob Eubanks.
Right, and? Anyway, keep going.
Or Bob... Bob Eubanks is doing this, not Bob Uecker and not Kevin Eubanks.
Not Kevin Eubanks. Okay. We got that out of the way.
Whew. Okay. And so, but
it's
Kevin
a Christmas
is,
miracle.
Kevin is playing with his talk boy. He has this.
Careful, that could be anything. Okay, so this is like a recorder thing.
Yes,
it looks like a camcorder.
It's like a handheld tape
thing.
Recorder.
Yeah,
with like a microphone that comes off the end of it.
To me, it looked like a camcorder at first, but it was a microphone tape recorder.
Yeah.
Thing.
So he's recording audio from the TV, and apparently it's very spotless. And he's recording like himself saying stuff.
This thing is clear.
Yeah.
And I guess they marketed these after, of course.
Well, I was going to say that. So I don't remember who it was. I thought it was Tiger Electronics, but I'm not sure.
Tiger Electronics.
They came out with a Talk Boy based off of this because they knew kids were going to want it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, smart. So they came out with it. But then they were like, hey, girls might like to play with one too. And instead of marketing the silver one just to everybody, they had the silver one for boys.
Called the Talk Boy.
Called the Talk Boy. And they made one that was pink and purple called the Talk Girl.
Right. It's not like a walk girl. Like you had a walk man. It wasn't a walk woman.
Yeah, right.
Like the female version wasn't walk woman.
Right. So I was just like, oh, God. Not that we don't do that kind of shit now, but
right.
I think we're at least a little bit more conscious of it.
Target wouldn't put up with this shit.
It depends which Target you go to.
That's true.
So Kevin's mom, Kate, who's played by Kathleen O'Hara, being comparable. Wonderful.
In fact, the first movie was probably the first time I actually remember, besides SCTV, going, oh, Kathleen O'Hara.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
She comes up and asks Kevin if he's packed yet. And of course, he's being a kid. He's recording what he's saying and then playing it back to her.
Of course I am.
So he is, but he says he doesn't want to go to Florida. I don't blame him.
It's no snow. It's Christmas. It's not Christmassy.
They don't have Christmas trees. That's one of his big arguments. They don't even have Christmas trees.
Now, have you ever wanted to go visit somewhere place warmer during Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought about... So, a while back, we watched a video, I think, of somebody who had gone to New Orleans between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Well, I mean, on Christmas, though.
On Christmas?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that, like maybe New Orleans or something.
I would guess it would depend. Like, I don't really want to go and not see family during that time.
Right.
If it was...
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I kind of want, you know, as much as I don't really like snow, I at least want something.
Well, okay. In their case, it makes sense, though, because the whole family's going together.
Right.
Although... What, would you drag presents down or just get them there?
I don't know. That's odd.
Yeah. And they obviously don't have any with them.
Right. That's true. So, they don't.
Yeah. So because I don't know how that
they
was.
They race to the airport.
Yeah. And so Kate tells Kevin that they will find, she promises they'll find a big fake silver tree to decorate while they're down there, or they'll decorate a palm tree, which actually sounds kind of fun to me.
Decorating a palm tree?
For Christmas.
Yeah, if I lived down there, yeah.
So Kevin gets really focused on the fact that the guests of Ding Dang Dong stay at the Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza Hotel. And again, it's celebrity Ding Dang Dong.
Yes, but it's just the guests of Ding Dang Dong in general stay there.
Celebrity Ding Dang Dong.
Well, right.
I cannot, you know, punch that enough.
He doesn't say celebrity
Ding. Celebrity Double Dare.
Celebrity Double Dare.
I don't know if they had that, but
sure.
They had Family Double Dare.
Speaking of Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, speaking of Celebrity Apprentice.
The
which I wasn't talking about.
The celebrity, you know, things. The Plaza Hotel was owned by Donald Trump.
Yeah, until like 1996. I do believe it was owned by one Donald J. Trump.
Yes. So now Kevin's dad, Peter, played by John Hurd.
Yes, John Hurd. I'll say that loud.
Yeah, I heard that.
Rest in peace. I think he died this year.
Yeah, he did. So he asks where the batteries for the camcorder is, or where they are. Kate says, well, they're charging. So he goes and he starts pulling them off the charger. But when he does, he unplugs the alarm.
Alarm clock.
And then plugs it back in.
Kind of what happened last time?
Yeah. So he plugs it back in, and of course it's flashing 12 o'clock. Here we go again. So in the meantime, of course, they're telling Kevin to finish getting dressed. They have some sort of a Christmas program to go to.
Yeah, pageant.
Yeah, and so he needs to get his tie.
Kids are in the pageant.
Uncle Frank is showering, and his tie is hanging in the bathroom for some odd reason.
No clue. I don't know if the tie needed to be ironed, and they didn't want to iron the tie.
That might be.
I don't know.
But I know they have this bit where Uncle Frank tells him not to go in there because he'll never feel like a real man if he's if he walks in on Uncle Frank in the shower.
Well, yeah.
But he does take the time to
go in
there. That's
what's wrong with Macaulay Culkin.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Michael Jackson visited this set many times during... He used to... Because he was Macaulay Culkin were pals.
I'm sure they were.
So he used to come visit him.
Yeah. No comment.
So he... Macaulay Culkin records his uncle singing in the shower on his talk boy. Mm-hmm. So...
Clear as day.
Yeah, clear as day. And of course, his uncle yells at him, calls him a pervert, and tells him to get out of there.
Get out of here.
So... they go to the school recital or pageant or whatever. Buzz and the other brothers and Kevin.
What's the age difference between Buzz and Kevin?
That's what I was going to say.
Because they're both in the same pageant. And I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like,
Buzz seems like high school.
Yeah, every
he
one
seems
of.
More like beginning middle school.
Yeah, every one of.
If not grade school.
Yeah, well, Kevin would be in grade school.
Right.
But Buzz is like, he has to be like a freshman.
Yeah, something.
Why are they all in one? I don't know. I thought that was weird, too.
Private school, maybe a small private school.
Yeah, maybe. It probably. Because obviously the McAllisters have money.
They seem well off.
Oh, they seem more than well off.
Like, I think, like, let's say a bill for $942.70 wouldn't bother him.
So Kevin has a solo that comes up, and while he's singing, Buzz is just humiliating him. He takes these little fake candles and puts them behind
like
his ears.
Like he's the devil.
And then acts like he's drumming on his head and all this stuff. Kevin turns around and shoves Buzz, which starts this chain reaction of kids all falling down everywhere except for Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And even part of the scenery... knocks the pianist off stage, hits her in the head, and she like rolls off stage.
The pianist.
So at home, Buzz gives a kind of a fake apology to the family,
just like the last movie,
and makes Kevin
this
look
is
bad.
Spot on. It feels like I was watching this scene. Makes me think of the first movie. It's almost exact.
Yeah. So Kevin refuses to apologize for defending himself from being humiliated. He even says he thinks a tropical vacation is stupid. And he starts to storm out of the room. Peter says to Kevin that he'll have to sleep on the third floor if he misbehaves. Which is confusing to me because your kids just don't get to sleep in their room. You make them sleep in the attic?
No clue.
Well,
I think
we
lock him up there with, like, flowers.
In the attic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's always a punishment, too, because Fuller is like, yeah, you're going to have to sleep in bed with me, and starts chugging another soda, because Fuller knows he's going to pee the bed, and I think he, like, enjoys the fact that he's going to pee the bed. He gets really excited about it.
Yeah, okay.
His uncle Frank says not to blow this vacation. Don't blow this vacation for me. Your dad paid a lot of good money for this. Of course, he calls his uncle a cheapskate.
Freeloader.
Yeah, and they send him upstairs. But that raises a question for me. What do the McAllisters do? So his dad pays for, there's 14 people on this trip. Each side of the family has 7 people.
Right.
They paid for all of them. I thought before they were going to France or something like that.
In the first movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're going somewhere. In this one, they're all going to Florida. You're paying for 14 people to fly somewhere else and putting them all up wherever they're going.
Yeah.
You put all your kids in private school.
We think. I mean, we're almost guaranteed they probably are.
Yeah.
So, now, I don't know what Mr. McAllister does. Maybe he owns McAllister's.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. He's in the Irish mob.
He is in the Irish mob.
Big Irish family.
Yeah.
He's in a gigantic house. All these gadgets. They can take trips wherever they want to go. They can do all this stuff. Kevin, his dad, is probably like a hitman or something.
Yeah. His dad never cares when Kevin goes missing.
Which is why Kevin
Because a lot of people around him go missing all the time.
Yeah, which is why Kevin is so prone to violence. He's seeing it
there
from...
There you go.
And they are... they like Kevin just lies all the time like it's no big, including Buzz. Buzz does too. Like, all of them are very... like, socially awkward.
Okay, I think you're giving this movie too much credit.
I'm just saying, I think that Mr. McAllister might be in the mob, and it's just rubbing off on his kids.
Okay, Jeremy.
Saying.
You wouldn't have these thoughts in your head if you drink Coca-Cola.
Oh, well, I drink Pepsi, and I see the truth.
Ooh.
It's the choice of a new generation.
What? That's the slogan from, like, 1990.
Which is around when this movie was coming out.
No, it's... 2017.
I know you can't see this, everybody, but I'm gonna do that.
What are you
the
doing?
The hand thing.
I don't even know what
twist.
You're doing, and I can see you.
You don't remember that?
No.
They'd go the choice of a new generation, and they'd put their hand out to the side, and then they would like turn their head back and forth. You don't remember?
You shut up, or I'll go find some diet right for you.
Ooh, no, please
keep
don't.
Going.
I'll be good. So now Buzz, still playing the innocent, Seven says that Kevin is just a troubled young man. And so Kevin goes upstairs. Kate comes to talk to Kevin.
Can I go back for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say that maybe the third movie was sponsored by RC Cola?
By Vess.
Ooh, Shasta. Keep going.
Sorry. I was going to say, the third one probably really was sponsored by Coke.
It was.
Kate goes to talk to Kevin, but he still refuses to apologize. And he tells Kate he'd go on vacation without them if he had the chance. You know, none of you people are on my side. None of you have my back. I can't trust any of you. And she says, "Well, you got your wish. You got your wish last year. Maybe you'll get it again this year." In a fit of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah, a little poopy badoopy. Shapoopy.
Shapoopy.
That's your attitude.
So the next morning, we see a newspaper blow across the way, like lands on their porch.
Conveniently.
Yeah, and it says. That the Wet Bandits...
Is that why they're called the Wet Bandits?
Because in the first movie, they would flood their basements.
Oh, they would, yeah. Yeah. The Wet Bandits.
So they've escaped. There was a prison riot, and they escaped while the riot was going on.
Right.
And so they are at large.
Yeah, so they're at prison break.
Yeah. But the McAllisters... right around that time, the vans to go to the airport pull up. And
oh no, we overslept again.
Yeah. And they've run around the house like crazy.
Yeah.
But they've taken precautions this time. So the two wives are like, okay, 7 tickets each, and we have them all labeled, we have it all taken care of. Everybody gets their ticket. They get in their vans. Kate is giving all the kids their stuff, and she goes, "Wait a minute.
Where's Kevin?
Kevin, because she just has hers and his. Kevin is in the front seat, though. He came down early.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Yes,
that they
I did
that.
Too.
I thought, oh, good.
Because they were breaking from what it was. And he
right.
was just like, I'm not messing around this time. He was obviously like the first one down and out.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't want anything stupid to happen again like in the first
Even though
one.
These are the worst parents in the world.
Yeah. So they get to the airport, and Kevin is just screwing around with his talk boy at this point. Like, he's won't quit playing with it.
Yeah, he needs his batteries.
He needs batteries. So his dad gives him his bag, and is like, well, there's batteries in there. Just get the batteries out, and let's go. So now from here, it's very fast-paced, the shenanigans are. So he's trying to replace the batteries, and they're all running through the airport. Kevin takes his eyes off the prize for like just a second, to put his batteries in, and when he looks up, he sees a guy who looks like who's wearing the same coat as his dad, but obviously he's like a porn star. He's got like a perm and like a porn stash. But the guy is like, oh, got to get to my plane, and takes off in a different direction, and Kevin runs after him.
Yeah.
And so, but he doesn't seem to notice that there aren't 12 other people outside of his dad.
Well, and he doesn't see any of them. Ahead. You know, they're already on the plane.
So,
I also read that this was a hard scene for them to shoot, as opposed to the first movie, because Macaulay Culkin got huge by then. So a lot of paparazzi and a lot of, like, fans...
Oh, really?
Were noticed. So they would have to stop and pause a lot in the scene. So
wow.
It actually took them a long time to do that.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Man, they pushed that movie huge.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And the airport left up its... It was filmed in February.
Okay.
And the airport left up its Christmas decorations up till February.
That was good of them.
Yeah.
So 13 McAllisters run towards their gate.
And nothing says Valentine's like a ho, ho, ho. Just saying.
So the McAllisters run towards their gate. And then Kevin follows Porn Stash towards his gate.
Creepy.
So now, obviously... They'll fix this when they realize he's boarding for the wrong plane, because he has to give him their ticket. He has to give him his boarding pass.
Yeah.
So they'll figure it out then. Nope. He runs into the lady who's checking everybody in,
right.
Knocking all the boarding passes.
Knocking all the boarding passes over. Where's your boarding pass? It's in one of these.
Yeah, his is lost in the stacks.
Get him on there. Get him on the plane.
Yeah, because they're getting ready to leave. So Kevin is adamant his family's in there. So, like, the manager says, well, he can board if he can confirm his family's on there. So his family's not on there, so he's going to notice that. So problem solved. They'll figure it out right then and there. Nope. He gets in there, and he sees Porn Stash's coat again and says, well, hey, you know, my dad, that's my dad because he has the same coat. Not when did my dad get a perm? So he says, yeah, that's him. And so the flight attendant says...
When did
my
dad become Mr. Brady?
So the flight attendant goes, just sit anywhere. Just find an open seat. Which is the weirdest thing. I can't remember last time that, like, the airlines didn't, like, triple book us.
Any stewardess was like, yeah, anywhere you want.
Yeah. Since when are the airplanes not triple booked?
Yeah, right.
He thinks his dad's on there, but it'll be fine, though, because whenever the flight's going to take off, they say where the plane is heading,
yeah.
And so that he'll realize he's heading
right
to the wrong place. He starts talking to some guy, and he goes, where are you from? And this French guy starts just reciting some sort of sonnet at...
I thought it was a good touch. It made it okay. It made it more believable that maybe he wouldn't know that he's on the wrong plane.
Yeah, which is
so I was
fine.
Okay with that.
I get that, but man, that guy just kept talking. Well, so he's talking, and Kevin goes and puts on his earphones.
Yeah,
but the French guy just keeps talking to him. Like, can you not tell? Like, do they not have emotions in France where you could tell?
No,
that, like,
come
the,
on, Jeremy.
You couldn't tell.
The do kid they was, have emotions in France?
The
Come
kid
on.
Was
you
disinterested.
Know the answer to that
is no.
Yes, of course it's no.
But he puts.
Apologize to our France listeners, all zero of them. I don't think we have any from France, do we?
I don't know.
Well, apologize if we do.
Well, if we have any Quebecois listeners, we apologize as well.
I don't know what that is.
From Quebec.
Oh, thought it was something else.
No.
Okay.
So
it sounded like something else that I would enjoy. But go ahead.
So he has his headphones on, which means that when they're saying, hey, we're wherever, they don't hear that she says it's flight whatever to New York.
New York.
Yeah. So it's just a comedy of errors. When Kevin gets off the plane in New York.
He should have known. I mean, if Woody Allen was on that flight. Oh, he's probably going to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
So Kevin gets off the plane and doesn't see his family at all. And it looks like Porn Stash doesn't even get off the plane.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
That's true. I don't. Yeah.
And so, because you'd think he'd be like, "Dad."
Well, you think, and you also would think that, like, a lot of, like, we've been on airplanes where kids might be seated in a different seat than their parents.
Yeah.
They're constantly getting up and going and talking to their parents. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Kevin's a little bit more independent.
Yeah.
But he would definitely be like, hey, how long is it?
Yeah.
Until, right? I don't know if he would be. Or you would see someone.
He was alone in the room watching Celebrity Ding Dang Dong. Like, right. I'm pretty sure he's probably okay by himself for a while.
Sure.
So he's probably reading his Sun Tzu Art of War and just chilling back in his seat.
Stop.
So the McAllisters now arrive in stormy Florida. It is just like downpouring. And they do this bit where they pass Kevin's luggage down the line. So it's like the older kids.
Yeah.
They keep handing it. It's just like the kids get smaller and smaller.
Fire brigade. Everyone gets smaller.
Until it gets to Fuller, who like looks over and it's just some adults, and he goes, Kevin's not here.
Like two old people.
Yeah. And he's like, Kevin's not here. And they start handing the luggage back until it gets back up to, I think it's when it gets to Uncle Frank's wife, and she goes, Kevin's not here? And hands it to Kate, and Kate goes, Kevin's not here. Kevin! And just like passes out again. Kevin! Yeah. I think Catherine O'Hara, that's like her.
I think she loved it to do that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I feel like she was just like, I practiced my Kevin scream this time.
She probably did. But obviously, they're not there. So now, Kevin goes to the airline counter where he encounters
Ally Sheedy.
An airline attendant played by Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy was actually supposed to play Kathleen O'Hara's role in the first movie.
Was she really?
Yes. So, but she didn't, obviously. So she has a cameo in this. I mean, friends with John Hughes. I mean,
makes sense.
Chris Columbus. So it makes sense that she would be in this.
But she has three lines. She has like three lines. It's like, yes, sir, whatever. Like she's answering a 10-year-old.
Which I do believe that she had three lines in The Breakfast Club, too. Come on. I mean.
But she got to do a lot more. She got to make dandruff snow and stuff. But
speaking of dandruff snow, it is snowing out like crazy in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Christmas time.
And he asks, what city is that outside?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's New York, sir. And so he seems off put by first. Just like in the first movie, he's like, I'm here without my family. I'm here without my family.
Yeah.
And then starts the shenanigans. So
now keep in mind, like, he also has his dad's wallet and bag, right?
Yeah. He has all of their cash.
All their cash.
And
all their credit cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's flush with mob money. he starts taking advantage by just doing like a walking tour. So he visits Chinatown.
He does like the bucket list. New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Circa 1992.
You're right. He goes and buys fireworks in Chinatown.
Yeah.
He
buys a gremlin in Chinatown.
He rides he takes a taxi across the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, he does that.
He sees the Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
Yep. And he sees.
He does this all in 30 minutes, I swear.
Of course.
A little montage.
And then he sees the Twin Towers.
Yep. And he goes on top of one of them.
I don't
know how he got up there.
Like some sort of an observation area.
Yeah. So obviously, pre 9/11 again.
Yeah. And actually, when they would show it on TV post 9/11, they would cut that section out.
Well, this movie is exactly 2 hours long.
Right.
So if they played the whole movie, it would have with commercials, it would be 2.5 hours long. So they had to cut some things. So I'm gonna guess just cut that for.
Yeah. If you have to cut it, cut that part anyway. So there you go.
Cut the cameo that's coming up. Cut some other things, and you're fine.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Yeah. So now in Florida, the McAllisters talk to the police, and they're talking about how, Kevin's missing. They say, hey, this has happened before, and they kind of make a little joke about it being a family tradition. The cop doesn't think it's too funny that they're making jokes about, like, being serial child abandoners. Which, you know, come on. Have a sense of humor, guys.
Right, these are the worst parents ever.
Yeah, but then when they were like, well, do you have a picture? And he goes, yeah, I think so. And he goes to take out...
would have handcuffed Kevin to me until we got to where we were going.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Why does he not sit next to you if right. you know this is going to happen? But they turn out, he figures out he doesn't have that, have this picture, so he says... or to have his wallet. So he says, okay, we'll put like a trace on the card. If somebody uses it, we'll figure out where they are, and you'll probably right. find where he is. So they have a plan, at least.
Kevin doesn't know how to use a credit card.
Yeah. Will he even know how to do that? And they just have him like ringing stuff up. So, well, Kevin walks through a fish market where Harry Lime.
Right. Joe yeah, Pesci.
Played by Joe Pesci. And Marv Merchants, played by Daniel Stern, poke their heads out. Yes. So now the significance of the name Harry Lime.
From The Third Man.
From The Third Man.
Orson Welles' character from yes. The Third Man.
Which simultaneously I'm like, oh, cool, he named it after that.
Right. And then you're
and
like,
and then simultaneously oh. pisses me off that you named this yeah. inept criminal.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that, you yes. know, as Orson Welles. So
here in New York, we steal things like coins and jewelry. But over there in Switzerland, all we steal is cuckoo clocks.
Cuckoo clocks.
Cuckoo clocks.
If you've never seen The Third Man, please go see it.
Yes.
Like, right now. So they've decided, the two criminals, Harry and Marv, have decided to leave Chicago and start over in New York. Marv has a glove made of tape and keeps getting everything stuck to him, like change or scarves and hats.
Let's be the Sticky Bandits.
Yeah, he suggested they become the Sticky Bandits instead of the Wet yeah, Bandits, yeah, and they'll wear glove, like yeah. tape gloves, and they'll get stuff.
A PR move. Let's make ourselves the Sticky Bandits.
Yes.
It's catchier than the Wet Bandits.
So Kevin, in the meantime, heads to the Plaza Hotel. So
yes, he does.
He's walking through Central Park to get there. And he sees the pigeon lady.
Pigeon lady.
Played by Brenda Fricker.
The wonderful Brenda.
Oh, she's her. Amazing. And she's good in this, too. She's right. so good. But he screams, so like says she's gross or something, and or sick, and then runs away. So, like, the scene is way more dramatic. Because Dennis is playing danger music as he's, like, heading towards the hotel away from her.
Well, that makes sense, considering it's the hotel of Trump
yeah.
that he's headed towards.
Now, while walking, Harry bumps into Kevin and doesn't realize it's him. But something gnaws at him. Like, he feels like, wait, did I know
it's
him?
It's a serendipity moment.
Yeah.
They are Kate Beckinsale and Kevin is John Cusack.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know, bumped yeah. into each other.
And, of course, at the same time, like, Marv is distracted because he hits on some lady and she slaps him.
That would make Marv Jeremy Piven then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. So she slaps him.
Yeah, that's totally Jeremy Piven then.
There you go. Yep. So now at the Plaza Hotel, Kevin asks this guy where the front desk is. It's... Donald J. Trump.
Donald J. Trump in a wonderful cameo.
Yeah. And as Kevin walks past, Trump turns and is like, and like looks right at the camera.
He says it's to the left.
Yeah, it's that way and to the left.
That's the only time he told someone to go left, by the way. You notice he actually doesn't go left. He actually goes right.
Yeah.
Which is probably because he realized that Donald Trump never tells anyone to go left.
He goes.
He goes past the Fox News kiosk.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
God. It's pretty sunshiny out. It's very bright Barty out. So it's like. So he goes all the way past that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's some. I think like the TV is playing some sort of news about a war. Some yeah, sort of info war.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, in the lobby. we people, see, okay. It's like a who's who.
People
of
are putting their stogies out on a Clinton ashtray. What? Okay, just keep okay.
They have
all this for like a cameo.
I know. Well, but we've heard about that before. That
in order to have
you
film your stuff in Donald Trump's buildings, you either have to say his name 500 times or he has to be in your movie.
Yeah. He wants the recognition. Right. So like he would either have to have a cameo in your movie.
Right.
Which is why he shows up in a bunch of things.
And so the background about this is they actually used the real phone number of the hotel in the movie.
Yes.
Which made people call it. And then they had to do this on purpose. So then they set up a deal for the hotel room that Kevin was staying at. Made it the Home Alone
package.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Yeah.
That's corporate business for you.
Yeah. Now, in the lobby, there's kind of this who's who of, like, actors. Who
it really is.
Parts. And most of them don't even have names.
Not really.
So we see...
Bellboy?
The first one, the bellman, he has a name. His name is Cedric.
Oh, it is Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, played by Rob Schneider.
Not Cedric the Entertainer.
No, okay. Played by Rob Schneider. Nothing entertaining about him.
No.
So he...
This is actually the most subdued I've ever seen.
Yeah, Rob I could Schneider. Take him like this.
Which is not saying much, but go ahead.
But, like, and his stuff is not... His, like, mugging and goofiness is not over the top.
Yeah, he's not America's sweetheart. You know, his daughter is, but keep going.
But he's a Deuce alumni. He was in Deuce Bigelow, he's a Deuce alumni, European correct. Yeah, Gigolo. Yeah. Also, the desk clerk, that's her name, is played by Dana Ivey.
Dana Ivey, another Deuce alumni.
Yep, she was the Texas senator from Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde, who, you know, was horrible and then instantly becomes, like, the sweetest woman ever.
The head clerk, the concierge, is...
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
And I'm so he's glad amazing in this.
I'm so glad Tim Curry's in this movie. My God.
He enhances this movie.
He enhances this movie, and yet they don't use him enough.
No, they don't.
Keep going.
So the desk clerk... of course, she questions why Kevin would be checking in by himself. Actually, before that, he calls in. He records himself saying, "Hi, I'm Peter McAllister, the father, and blah, blah, blah. I need a room with this and this and this. A credit card? No problem." And then he calls the number from that he heard from Ding Dang Dong.
Yeah.
Celebrity Ding Dang Dong. And he slows down the playback to book this room.
Right.
So somebody goes, "Hi, sir, what's whatever, or, you know."
That's Chris Columbus's wife.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So she's like, "Oh, we can set this up." And it goes,
"Hi, this is Peter McAllister, the father."
It just like
has the father.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, that would not raise a red flag for you? Or?
What also doesn't raise a red flag is at no time during this reservation does he give like, anything. He doesn't say when he's checking in or checking out.
Well, you know.
Doesn't do any of that.
Hey, they give a credit card, so there you go.
I don't even think they did that, did they?
Well, he goes, "A credit card? No problem," and then it cuts.
Okay.
So he probably gave more details after.
Okay, gotcha.
But in the lobby, he goes in. The desk clerk is, why would you be checking in? Where's your dad? And he just instantly has this bullshit story about his dad being in a meeting, and he hates meetings. So he said to come here and go into the hotel room. So here's why
he has the credit card. I don't think it's a bullshit story. That is Macaulay Culkin's life at that time.
I think that Kevin is a sociopath.
I think so.
Yeah, like his lying is like a little too easy all the time.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, but of course she takes his card and puts it on the old-timey credit card machine. Yeah, it's got like the old charge. It has like the charge slips. Do you know what that thing's called?
I don't. I had to use it once when I was working retail and the lights went out.
Oh.
We had to do everything on that and get the customers out.
But yeah, so
someone told me what it was called, but I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, they run it over that thing where you slide it back and forth. It makes an imprint, which is crazy. And so he's like, "Cool, it worked," which almost gives it away. But in the meantime, the concierge, Tim Curry, asks Cedric, "Hey, I don't know what's up with that kid, but why don't you take a look around and see if you can figure out what's happening?" So when Cedric takes Kevin upstairs, he tries to go through his bag, but Kevin catches him. And there's this like running gag bit where like he wants a tip, and Kevin goes, "Oh, here you go."
Really, he wasn't rolling a booger between his.
No,
you know, okay.
It's normally, but not with this. so he gives him like a piece of Minta Burst gum.
I thought it was a Fruit Stripe gum.
Was it Fruit Stripe?
It looked like Fruit Stripe.
See, I thought it was like Minta Burst.
Okay, it was Fruit Stripe.
It was green, whatever it was.
It was Fruit Stripe.
So he gives him some gum.
I love how we argue about that stuff. Nope, it was Fruit Stripe. No, it was Wintergreen. Like, it matters. Are you thinking those crystal things?
Yeah.
The gum with the crystal things?
They had Cinnaburst and Mintaburst? I don't think so.
Oh, my God. Fruitaburst? I used to love that.
I used to like Fruitaburst.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
But, aw. sorry, our cat woke up and she's squeaking in the background. Hi, Princess. So he gives Cedric gum for a tip. And Cedric, of course, he's not mad. He's just like, well, you know, it's a kid. So what are you going to do? So he's not ticked about that. So later, Kevin goes swimming. Kevin goes swimming, and of course he's wearing like these oversized flip flops and shorts. And
what? Don't lick my foot, you foot licker!
Foot licker, gross cat! She
licked my foot.
So, so he's going to go swimming, and I did think it was kind of funny. He gets down there, and of course it's all these older folks at the pool and everything. Yeah. And he goes, "Excuse me, gentlemen, do you mind if I work on my cannonballs?" Like it was. Like, you know, like he was going to be swimming or whatever. It was kind of a funny thing. They're
also
like,
not
sure.
The Plaza Hotel. Plaza Hotel doesn't have...
Yeah, it doesn't have a pool.
A swimming pool, so...
This was filmed in Chicago. Yeah. So he does a cannonball. And his shorts come off. And so obviously he goes, yikes, because you see his shorts floating in the pool. Did I already mention that Michael Jackson came to visit the set a bunch of times?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. It just reminded me for some reason. Anyway, in the room service guy is making Kevin, like, the coolest sundae. He's got, like, this big ice cream trough.
And it is pretty cool.
Loading it up with... It's like a sundae bar that they brought to his room. And he's loading up with stuff. Stop. Now, Kevin is watching the movie... Angels with Filthier Souls. Now, if you remember in the first movie, he's watching Angels with Filthy Souls. This movie is just showing a sequel within a sequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
A deuce inside a deuce.
Yeah, it's a
inside
deuce.
A deuce.
This is my thesis.
It's not your thesis.
This is my thesis. I can stop.
It's your deuces.
My deuces?
Deuces.
It's my deuces. But yeah, so he's watching the movie, and of course it comes to a part where like somebody's getting gunned down. Like in the first one they had, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
In this one, he goes, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Anyway, that night.
Shout out.
Tama Dreams. So that night, the concierge pretends to be German and to check on the occupants of the room. Kevin realizes, uh-oh, he's coming inside. So Kevin runs off to the shower and using stuff that's around him. And when Tim Curry opens the door,
right.
You see this like Bozo the Clown
that
pool
he
toy.
Miraculously blew
he
up.
He has rigged up string and pencils, and it's like a master puppeteer, and it's dancing and it's playing Uncle Frank singing in the shower from earlier.
Right.
Kevin didn't delete that for some reason.
Now I'm going to tell you because it was a clown, inflatable clown, right?
Yeah.
not the only clown in this movie. There are two other clowns in this movie. Tim Curry, Pennywise.
Yep.
Donald J. Trump.
There you go.
Keep going.
There you go. But yeah, he makes the puppet, and he like makes it turn and shake its fist, and like, it was very, he had the puppetry down.
Yeah, I was quite impressed by that.
Yeah. So Tim Curry, of course, goes scurrying back. He's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, right.
And he runs and trips over a bunch of stuff, and, I think like he falls over a bunch of like table legs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just doing Tim Curry type stuff. Now we cut to the family.
Run through the corridor.
We cut to the family in Florida. And so it's storming as they pull up to their kind of they, on the other hand, are going into this Fleabag motel.
Yeah, it's raining.
And apparently it was the hotel that Uncle Frank took his wife to on their honeymoon.
Evidently.
And he goes,
so way to go, Uncle Frank.
He was like, well, I thought it was better on our honeymoon. Well,
of course it was, because you weren't thinking about anything else.
Yeah, right. And then he's a cheapskate.
Which one of you gave your kid red hair?
Yeah.
From Pete and Pete?
Well, I think it was the mom.
Frank has no hair. She's blonde.
Yeah, but if he has no hair, he probably had hair at some
point. Whatever, anyway.
So back at the hotel... Kevin delivers some expository dialogue to nobody. He's like going through this book and goes, ah, Uncle Rob, you blah, 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 blah. I should stop in and visit them to like nobody.
To move the plot along.
Yeah, but now we know Uncle Rob lives there, and he says, I wonder if he's, I'll visit him when he's back from vacationing in Paris. Just very throwaway kind of.
I know who plays Uncle Rob.
Who?
I'll let you know later on.
Oh,
it's a secret.
Is it really a person?
Keep going. No, I'm making this all up. Seriously, I am, but keep going. It's a joke, but keep going.
So he's going to drop in on them later. Cedric brings Kevin his starched boxers, like on a hanger.
Yeah, whatever.
And Kevin's like, whoa, stop. Like, you don't know who's going to see these babies. Did I mention that? No, I'm kidding. In this Rob Schneider-y moment, like he's like
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is Rob a bellman. So Kevin's like, oh, I should get you a tip, and he goes, no problem, sir. He goes, I still have some tip left over from last time, and like sees his gum that he has in his mouth.
Fruit stripe gum.
Yeah. And Kevin goes, huh. Okay, if you don't want one, and like pulls out like a wad of 50s, because his dad's in the mob, and of course Rob Schneider in a Rob Schneider-y moment is like, no, like trying to do that as the door is closing.
Rob Schneider is always trying to beg for money.
Yeah, I imagine that's much how it goes at L. King's house too. So when Kevin comes downstairs. The concierge flags Kevin down and offers his apologies. Kevin lies and said his dad is pissed and he didn't want to see the concierge, so he left without him seeing him. But anyway, to make it up, they give him a free limousine and a cheese pizza.
A cheese pizza.
He calls cheese pizza.
Can we pause right here?
Yeah.
All right. Cue John Mulaney clip.
I always wanted to live in New York when I was a kid. I'm so excited that I get to live in New York. I saw New York City in a movie when I was a kid. It was called Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. It is a sequel. Yeah. How about that movie? It was a sequel to the movie Home Alone. I remember in that movie, the kid in Home Alone 2. He gets into a stretch limousine on Fifth Avenue with a large cheese pizza, and I thought, this is the height of luxury! Now I live in New York, and I'm psyched, but that is a stupid movie title. Lost in New York, the streets are numbered. How'd you get lost in New York? I know it's kind of stupid to complain about a movie that came out 17 years ago, but I wasn't a comedian back then, so I have to do it now. I wish I'd been a Def Jam comic when that movie came out. I would have torn it to pieces. Be like, you seen this? You seen this Home Alone 2 Lost in New York? It's a grand system, mother. Where you at? 24th and 5th? Where you want to go? 35th and 6th? 11 up and 1 over, you simple bitch. That'd be my big joke. That'd be the closer if I was a Def Jam comic when that movie came out.
And we're back.
Yes, we had to play that.
Yep.
I love John Mulaney so much. John Mulaney, who was supposed to... He was supposed to
audition for Kevin, we figured this out.
Yeah, Kevin, he McCallister. Talked about that. He was supposed to audition.
Let him.
Yeah, and they said
which
no.
Which seems
the last
about
minute.
Right. Can I go back? That cheese pizza was a Roy's cheese pizza.
It's a Roy's cheese pizza?
Yep.
I guess the real question is, did he eat the pizza bone?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Did I mention that what's his face was on? Anyway, keep going.
While Kevin's in there's this great scene. Kevin's in the limo, and he's just being a kid, and he's driving along. But the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, is playing on the television.
So
great.
And
so it's playing the whole, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." And it's playing it.
His smile is exactly like it.
It comes to a point where that Grinch does that, like, sneer. And
beautiful. My favorite part of this whole movie.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Tim Curry goes... He does the smile that matches the Grinch's.
Perfectly.
Like, exactly.
Should have played Grinch.
Oh, my God. He should have.
Should have.
Oh, it was amazing. You sure you wouldn't like somebody who was more over the top?
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway. Tim Curry's looking sinister. Yeah,
right. Robert Duvall it is.
God. He's looking more sinister and Grinchy.
Yeah, I mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Because he ran Peter's credit card. And it says it's been stolen, because that's the only way they could stop, like, basically get them to say, "Hey, where is he?" Flash over to we cut over to an ice skating rink. Marv is ice skating while Harry's like attacking pigeons, like he's hitting pigeons that are sitting on this rail. And he's Marv comes over. He's been like using his sticky glove hand to take gloves and a scarf and a hat. Harry says, "Hey, look, we don't have the means to rob any big hotels, and there's no guarantees about how much money we would get from tourists anyway. So we need to think smart." So they opt instead to rob some place which will have tons of cash on hand, and like a toy store, people buying toys before Christmas. And nobody's going to unload the money on Christmas, so there's that. So, or like on Christmas Eve. So there's an ad for Duncan's Toy Chest.
Yes, Duncan's.
Which is basically like I think it's supposed to be like FAO Schwartz.
Kind of.
Much.
It's a big toy store.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it mostly looked like Mr. Megorium.
Mr. Megorium's
Wonder Emporium.
Kind of
did.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
The neat
Money's
thing,
the creepy Dustin Hoffman.
It's a real toy store too.
What?
Duncan's isn't, I don't think, but it's.
Oh, okay.
But like where they were was a real toy store.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, they used that building. They used that building for also Elliot Ness's headquarters.
Really?
The Untouchables. Yeah.
I thought it was a real toy store.
No, that's not a real toy store at all.
Well, I know they filled it with toys, like real stuff, because each of the kids who was an extra on there. As part of their pay, not only did they get paid, but they got to keep their favorite toys.
Well, it might be now, but like I think that Untouchables came out in 90-something, so who knows?
There you go. Yeah. But I know the kids got to keep their favorite toys. I remember that story. And Kevin's was a talk boy. In any case, Kevin rolls up to Duncan's Toy Chest. The limo driver brought him there, and he is just like amazed.
And you know what they say about Duncan's Toy Chest?
What?
Kids run on Duncan's.
There you go. Marv and Harry, now we see them. They're hiding in these big toy houses, like playhouses, waiting to spring after everyone leaves. So once everybody's gone, they're gonna come out of there and rob the place because they'll lock up with them inside. So Kevin is buying some monster foam. Or some monster soap. Like the stuff where it had the little monster head on it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Mr. Bubble.
No.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought it was.
I didn't have fun things when I was younger.
I used to love Funny Foam.
Okay.
That was the stuff. And they had like Pac-Man soap and all that, so.
Okay.
But yeah, the monster soap thing, that's what he's buying. And so he has this conversation with the clerk, played by Eddie Bracken, classic film actor Eddie Bracken. He was in a bunch of older films.
Like what?
I'd have to remember what they mm-hmm. were. But I remember seeing him in things before.
Mm-hmm.
But
true story, that's not true. He once split his pants during a show, so it was Eddie Bracken McCracken. Not true. Keep going.
Do you hear, but he later in life, like after he stopped acting shortly after this.
Oh, yeah?
And started mining for gas.
Oh, yeah.
In like the Oklahoma area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he changed his name to Eddie Fracken.
Eddie Fracken?
Yeah.
And then he split his pants, too.
And they split
his pants. Eddie Fracken.
Eddie Bracken, Fracken,
Eddie Cracken. Bracken, Fracken, McCracken. All this is so true.
So true.
And he's not getting the plot anywhere, so keep going.
So Kevin, basically the clerk tells him that Mr. Duncan gives all the money that he earns on Christmas Eve to the children's hospital every year. And which this seems just like such a issue waiting to happen. He says all the money he gets, and they leave it in the register overnight, which he comes and gets it on Christmas and takes it to the kids then. Why did you leave a register just flush with cash overnight, one of the busiest days of the year?
I have no clue.
Put it in the safe.
That in New York.
Yeah. With your glass, single pane glass front windows.
With like a chest that also you can see in the inside.
Money. Yeah.
Where all the money's there.
Yeah. So.
Come on, McCracken.
He tells him this. Well, Kevin is like, well, you know what? I have $20 that I got from mowing lawns. I'm going to give you $20 to also give to the kids.
Yeah, so like there's some bright moments in
Kevin.
Yeah,
and this very sweet moment with Kevin. This is the Kevin I like. The Kevin who's like
who's not
a
psycho.
Sweet kid.
Yeah.
Who's not a sociopath all the time. So he gives him the $20. So the clerk says, hey, I'm going to give you something. I suggest, he's like, take any ornament off that tree. Well, he suggests turtle doves. So he says that turtle doves are special because they come in twos. If you hold one and you give one to somebody else, you and that person will be friends forever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you have to give the other turtle dove.
Yeah.
Which makes it the so when they separate, it's a lonesome turtle dove. Just say.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
Kenny Rogers writes a hit song about it. It's all great, but keep going.
So as Kevin's leaving, he looks over and he sees the painting of the founder, Mr. Duncan, and it's Eddie Bracken.
Eddie Bracken was talking
to the owner.
Yes. And he's cracking nuts, so he's Eddie Bracken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kevin leaves the store, and he's standing by the sidewalk trying to figure out where to go next, looking at his map. And Harry and Marv come out, and Harry goes, oh, my God. He sees the name on the bag, and he realizes who it is. So they, of course, go.
Yeah, he remembers the last name. They never know his first name in any of these movies. They don't know his first name is Kevin.
Yeah, because they saw because of the house, the name on the house. So they try to grab him. Which did I mention?
Shut up.
Anyway, so Kevin screams at the top of his lungs, and I think it's actually funny. It's like a really long, drawn-out scream. He goes, ah, just screaming. And you see them looking around like, hoping nobody's hearing this. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually runs away. So the crooks give chase. Kevin buys some necklaces and breaks them, basically dropping all the beads on the ground. And the criminals step right on them, and their legs slide out from under them.
How big was that necklace? I mean, there are tons
of... He had a bunch of strands of them. He bought a bunch. But they slip right before they catch him.
Yeah.
So now he
those
makes...
Those perps, their kryptonite are like things that roll.
Yes.
And paint cans.
Yep.
Yep.
That's about right. So he makes it to the hotel. Kevin gets all the way back, where it should be safe. But the concierge is out there waiting for him.
Ooh, I got him.
Which, were you just standing out there all day? He could have been back at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And really, did your limo take him there and then just leave him? Like, I don't understand. But so he gets back, and then he says, ha, the credit card is stolen. He takes the credit card away from Kevin.
I think this screams, like, stolen, and, like, blinks. Yeah. And I thought, that's funny.
Yeah, he takes it away from Kevin. And then he says, we're going to turn you over to the police, and starts yelling at him about he's going to go to jail. So Kevin keeps running
right.
And runs inside.
Which is what you would do because someone just yelled they're going to call the cops on you.
Yeah.
And you're 10.
Yeah. And so he, of course, the concierge tells Cedric the bellman, come on, let's get him. So they run after him. Inside, the desk clerk, Dana Ivy, she puts her arms out like she's going to stop him.
Classic scene.
Yeah. And Kevin hits the ground, slides on the ground, like between her legs and straight into the elevator.
Bing.
She's still standing like that. And so that means that Tim Curry and Rob Schneider get clotheslined by Dana Ivy. So they're everybody's just laying there in a pile.
Classic scene.
Yeah. Now, those carpets that were on the floor, and I had read that the carpets, there used to be carpets there.
Right, but they took them
out. They tore them up so he could do the slide.
Trump liked it so much.
And yeah, Trump liked the look of it so much that they kept it that way. Which, I mean, I'm a big proponent of like the...
I don't believe that. I think that's fake news.
The marble... the marble floors. You don't think he was down there sliding around in his socks until like... Ivanka, or until Ivana Trump called him back upstairs, whatever. Or Marla Maples, whoever
we
was.
It was probably
with.
Marla at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Who called him upstairs and was like, hey, stop it.
Probably.
So Kevin heads up to his room. So Kevin now has added credit card fraud to the list of his crimes.
Sure.
He goes and steals 3 cookies out of the fridge. Like, he's preparing to run. And so the whole thing is filled with food.
You only need 3 cookies.
And he takes 3 small chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
To live on for however long he needs. And so the hotel staff busts into the room. And Kevin in the other room is playing Angels with Filthier Souls. Much like in the first movie, he plays it and misdirects people with audio.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a delivery guy or something?
Yeah. This one, because adults can't tell the difference between real sound and the audio from like a 20-inch Emerson TV that was in the other room.
Or like a film noir from the 1940s.
Yeah, right?
But no one talks like that.
I will say it was funny because the line from the movie was, like, this dame comes in, and he's like, no, you've been smooching with my brother.
Right.
And you've been smooching with this and with this.
Tim Conway's like, no, I...
And he goes, oh, I know, you've been smooching with my brother. And Tim Curry's like, whoa, whoa.
Did I say Tim Conway?
Yeah,
Tim Curry, I'm sorry.
And so he's like, whoa. And, of course, the more it goes on, like, the other hotel staff are kind of like, man, what are you doing? Like, thinking maybe this is real. And he goes, and with Cliff... And they all turn and look, and one of the guards' name is Cliff, and he's like, no, I swear I didn't do nothing.
I swear I haven't been smooching.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a funny bit, because the way they all look at him.
Who uses the word smooching anymore?
Nobody.
Dame?
Death.
Get your fee bag on.
Smooching. Smoochy. So Kevin escapes. Out the back of the hotel. But, of course, he gets right into the arms of Marv and Harry. They monologue about their plan to rob the toy store, which is why they were there.
He has an airplane ticket in his hand.
Yeah.
Where's that airplane? What is that airplane ticket for?
It was his round trip ticket, but he lost
it. But he lost it.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know.
Film flub.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have it, but they rip it up so he can't get back.
Yeah, but still, he lost it.
But not that it would do him any good. He's in New York, and the ticket was back and forth from Florida to Chicago.
That's true.
So, but they rip it up, and while they're walking, they're monologuing about their plan. Kevin is recording them talking, and they were going to take him to the subway, I think shove him in front of a train or something. They said they're going to kill him in the subway. Which I was like, wow, this got dark. Like,
yeah,
I don't remember.
Frank Underwood. Yeah, I mean, you know.
they're gonna kill a child. Anyway, while they're standing there, Kevin gooses this lady. It turns out it's the same lady as before, because New York has like 30 people who live there apparently.
Yeah, especially over by Central Park and in that area.
And so he gooses her. She turns around and Marv's like, "Oh, hello," because it's the same lady who slapped him before. This time she punches him in the face, and then she punches Harry, too. And so Kevin runs off into Central Park. Harry says he should have just shot the child while he has a chance. Marv said, "Don't worry, he's in the park now, and kids are as scared of the park." And He says, "You know what? Adults go into the park all the time and never come out, so we're pretty confident he'll just die." So, now back in Florida, the police let the McAllisters know he used the car to New York. So everybody's like, "Okay, let's get on a plane. We're gonna go."
Yeah.
So Peter thinks Kevin might have gone to his brother Rob's house. And his wife,
uncle.
Aunt Georgette.
Yeah, Rob and Georgette.
Yeah. So they're in France, I'm guessing, to visit Georgette's family. Kate reminds him, well,
wow.
Hey.
Wow, Jeremy, really?
What?
Could have been Rob.
She sounds like a French person.
I know.
Kate reminds him it's being renovated.
Yeah. I think by renovated, I mean completely gutted.
Yeah, it's. Well, I'm wondering if it was just an old brownstone or what, but like, there's some stuff in their home in there, so they have to.
Yeah, but there's like no front area.
Yeah, it was destroyed.
Which we'll find out. I mean, it's destroyed.
Yeah.
So did I tell you? Like, I mean, there's holes everywhere.
Yeah.
So when I told you, I think I know who plays Rob and Georgette.
Yeah.
That would be Tom Hanks and Shelley Long.
The Money Pit.
Yeah, it looks like the Money Pit to me.
Nice.
Yep.
So Kevin goes to see Uncle Rob and Aunt George Jetson. And
did you say George Jetson?
George Jetson.
Okay.
She is vacant.
They have a daughter named Judy, I think.
Oh, okay. And yeah. What about Elroy?
No, they don't.
Is boy Elroy?
Nope.
No. Okay. So the house is still vacant and is being renovated. Kevin kind of wanders the streets at this point.
Well, because he can't get in.
Yeah. And so he's like, what do I do? So he's wandering the streets. He's getting harassed by bums who are just like
bums and hookers and
the
taxi drivers.
Are,
oh,
yeah.
My.
And he gets into a cab and he goes, it's really scary out there. And he goes, it's not too much better in here, kid. I'm like,
bums
what?
And hookers and taxi drivers. Oh, my. Bums and hookers
and
taxi
drivers.
Oh,
my. So he's in the park. He decides he's going to go into Central Park at night.
Seems like that's a good, you
yeah,
know.
Good
I've
plan.
Seen lots of Law & Order episodes. That seems like a really good choice.
Yeah, he's a kid. Yeah. He'll be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Nothing bad would happen to a kid in Central Park at night.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Who are the guys in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that go to Central Park? Toka and Razar.
Toka and Razar.
Yeah.
The turtle and
the turtles? Don't they go to the Central Park?
In the first one?
Yeah.
No.
Or is it they don't?
They were in the second one.
Second one. Okay, who were the ones in the first one?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, not the first one, but the first one we reviewed.
Oh, the Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, Secret of the Ooze.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember them going to Central Park.
Oh, I thought they did.
I don't remember that. I remember they...
Cab!
Oh, yeah.
Cab.
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 They were just like in some part of town.
Yeah.
some fakey part of the cab. Just knocking over poles.
Yeah.
Kevin runs into the park, and he tries to eat one of his cookies, one of the cookies that's going to sustain him forever.
Right. I mean, you know, it's Chips Ahoy, so it's going to last him forever. Crunch, done.
But so as soon as he gets it, pigeons start swooping down onto him, and he's going to share some, so he crumbles some up to give to them. And pretty soon, he looks up and he realizes the pigeon lady is there.
Yes.
Kind of watching him. So he's like, oh no. So he tries to run, but his foot is caught.
Yeah.
She frees his foot.
Right. His left one.
His left foot, actually, was it? No.
No, it was.
It was his left foot.
Yeah, it was his left foot.
His left foot.
Yeah, she tries to help people out with their left foot.
So he starts running, and then he kind of stops and realizes that maybe he shouldn't. Like, she helped him. And so he stops being a dick for a minute, and he turns around and says, you know, now that I think about it, those pigeons are all over you. They must do that because they love you. Like, they like you. So that's not scary. And then so he's very positive about it now. Turns out she's not just a bum. She's a pigeon aficionado and also a bum. She has Kevin throw. He's like, well, how do they know to come back to you? And she has him throw seed into the air.
Actually, it's because she's Irish.
There you go. She throws seed into the air, and it hits the ground. When it hits the ground, they all swoop in.
Uh-huh.
He
does that. They all swoop in.
Yeah. And from, like, everywhere.
So he befriends this bird lady.
Yes.
This bum of a bird lady.
Yes. So he says it'd be nice to go somewhere warm instead of, like, you know, sleeping out in the cold. And she goes, well, here, I'll take you somewhere. So they go to, like the attic kind of area of the Philharmonic.
Yes.
And she says, you know, I've heard some of the world's greatest musicians
here. They get
here.
Hot cocoa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I've heard some of the world's greatest musicians here.
Yes.
And so.
Yes. Lionel Richie.
She does say Count Basie.
Oh,
I do remember
that
one.
Oh, you mean really good ones. Okay.
Yeah. So Kevin says, well, do you bring your friends here? And she says, well, she doesn't really have any friends. Pigeon Lady reveals that she wasn't always like this. She had her heart broken once, and so she decided she wasn't going to let anybody
do that
ever again.
She was in love with
Lionel
Richie. We all know that.
So she ran away, so it could never be broken again.
It was a deleted scene from this movie. You didn't know about it? Her love affair with Lionel Richie?
It was very explicit. It's mm-hmm. in the director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, they were
Kevin,
dancing on the ceiling.
Doing something on the ceiling. So Kevin tells her this story about his rollerblades.
This is a nice scene.
I thought it was too.
Happens for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This is the John Hughes I know.
Yes.
This is the John Hughes I love.
Yes, me too.
The scenes like this.
Yeah, where it's got heart to it.
It's got heart to it.
And
this is also the Chris Columbus I know that has heart to it.
Yes.
That directs it, like Mrs. Doubtfire said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
stuff
great.
Like that.
Yeah, he says he got these rollerblades, and he was so afraid of breaking them that he would never wear them. And so he never really put them on. But when he decided he was going to, he outgrew them. And so he never got to use them because he was too afraid that it would get hurt. And he said, I think that might be like your heart. You know, if you don't use your heart, you know, how do you know it'll even work when you need it to? And I like that. Like, it was very simple, but, like, poignant. And I thought it was a good piece of this.
Yeah. Like I said.
Yeah.
This is what I like about the heart.
So he tells the pigeon lady that he won't forget her, and she says, you know, don't make promises you can't keep. And so she's, you know, warming up to him because he's treated her like a person,
uh-huh.
but she's not completely trusting yet. Now, on his way out, Kevin sees this like shining star across the way. So he heads down to the building and he sees it's the children's hospital. Mm-hmm. That's when Kevin starts to think about.
She also says, can we go back? She says, you know, good deeds outnumber bad deeds. And she says, he says, I have to do a bunch of good deeds then. And she goes, don't you know that they're doubled?
Yeah. Oh, they double on Christmas.
They double on Christmas.
Yeah. So he is thinking about how to
take your
better.
Left foot forward, motherfucker.
He thinks about how to be better. So he goes to the children's hospital, and then he starts flashing back about Mr. Duncan saying he'll bring him the money on Christmas.
Yes.
And how Marv and Harry are planning to steal the money that night.
He puts two to do together.
Yeah, and he says nobody messes with kids on Christmas and starts hatching a plan.
It's true. No one does.
So now we have this montage. Kevin goes to his uncle's house, climbs
played
up.
Played by Tom Hanks.
Played by Tom Hanks and Shelley Long. and he climbs up the waste tube.
Yeah, anyone could get in that thing.
Well, no, it's really not supported. So,
I guess you're right, yeah.
But for some reason, he magically climbs through it. Well, so
a lot of magic happens here.
So he unrolls blueprints that are there, and he has like a whole plan drawn on it of his, I guess, torturing and stuff. So he sets things up like he takes wood planks out from over these like gaping holes in the floor. He sets up paint cans and like staple guns or nail guns. And he's putting a lot of stuff out that most likely would murder somebody. So I guess my thing is this. In the first movie, he was defending himself because they were trying to get into his house. In this movie, they're robbing a toy store. So his plan is to lure them here and to start attacking them. So to me, it's like it just escalated because now he's no longer defending himself. Now he's like trying to bring somebody to a murder house.
Yes.
So he's going further and further.
It's kind of a little demented, but we'll get to that here in a moment.
So
we go back to the toy place, right?
Well, so at the hotel at this point, the McAllisters arrived.
Yeah, they arrived at the hotel.
Which, on Christmas Eve, they order 13 plane tickets at the last minute to go from Florida to New York.
No clue.
What do you do, Peter?
No clue. No clue, Peter.
So anyway, Kate yells at the staff about why would you do all this, and they're kind of apologizing but also kind of dense about it. Peter says he's going to go talk to the cops and tells Kate to stay put.
They give him a free suite.
Yeah, they give him a free suite upstairs, like the penthouse suite.
It was like penthouse, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just vacated by like some member of royalty or something.
Must have been. You figure that whole place would be full up again.
Yeah.
What do you do, Peter?
Kate says she's not going to sit idly by. She's going to go out there and look for Kevin. So the concierge warns her. Well, they're I think he calls them parasites, but that there's scummy people out there who could be doing her harm. And she just slaps him in the face. And he goes, "Do be careful, madam." And we get
typical Tim Curry. Tim Curry fashion.
He does this like bottom lip tremble as when he does he's choking back the tears. It's so great.
Love Tim Curry.
Oh, Tim Curry's the best. So anyway, it's midnight now, and Duncan Toy's chest is locked up. Harry and Marv are inside per their plan.
Yeah, and they're little dollhouses.
Yeah, and they spring into action and head for the register, which, why would you leave it full of cash? Again, I don't know. So now, as they're stuffing their satchel full of cash, Kevin, knocks on the glass, and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he takes their picture with, a Polaroid camera.
Yes.
And then after he takes a picture, he busts out the glass with a brick with a note tied to it. Because what's better than stopping them from taking money leaving the store wide open to everybody else.
Sure, why not?
There you go.
He did shake it like a Polaroid picture.
So Harry and Marv start chasing after him because now and they left the money behind too. But they're chasing after him just because they hate him so much.
That they would rather chase him than steal the money and go.
Yeah,
and
like he's cost them now. This would be twice. So Harry jumps out of the storefront and lands on a board that is sitting on top of like a paint bucket. And he goes, no. And Marv runs and jumps out the other side, lands on the other end of it. Now, I don't know how much more Daniel Stern weighs than Joe Pesci.
Well, maybe his ego's a little bit bigger than Joe Pesci's.
I find that hard to believe.
I don't know about that. Well, I think Daniel Stern's probably a very humble
person. I'm positive Daniel Stern is.
Yeah. Joe Pesci, on the other hand.
Yeah, not that he's bad, but like, man, this was his time. So it catapults Joe Pesci into the air. Harry goes into the air.
Like, shoots
flying, flips.
So high.
Yeah, and
about
forward.
As high as John McClane in Die Hard 2.
Yeah, it's huge. And then he flips, lands on a car, and it just, like, smashes the roof in. Which, I don't know how that's going to happen. The thieves chase Kevin to his H.H. Holmes-style murder house that he set up.
Oh, it's pretty terrible.
So Kevin gets to the roof and is taunting them. Harry goes, whoa, 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 don't rush in. It's probably booby-trapped. Like, Harry did the smart thing. He said, easy. I mean, we've met this kid before.
Harry obviously is the smarter of the two.
Yes.
He always has been.
So they tell the kid, they go, hey, kid, throw down the camera and we'll call it even, which is dumb for two reasons. Number one, it's a Polaroid.
It's a Polaroid.
What's it going to do? What good is it
you
to get the camera
have
now?
The picture. Yeah. Throw out the picture, not the camera.
And number two, he could just throw something else, which he does. He throws
like maybe
a brick.
A brick?
Yeah. And so the brick falls. It's a brick, and it's falling slowly.
Drowning,
yes,
slowly.
So it falls, and it hits Marv in the head. And that probably should have killed
him. It's about 6 a.m. day after Christmas.
Yeah.
I throw some clothes on in the dark.
What? The
smell of cold.
Cold?
Car seat is freezing.
Okay.
The world is sleeping. I am numb.
Numb.
Keep going.
So they do this bit where he keeps throwing bricks. He throws five bricks from like four stories in
the
air.
They all hit. Daniel Stern.
Yeah, from like four stories up,
five
they all
bricks.
Hit him in the face.
What time? How hard
and
is a brick? I'm sure it's brain damage, if not dead.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, and that's the other thing too. That's assuming. He always gets hit by, like, the flat side.
Yeah.
If you have the corner hits you, I mean, that's going to smash your skull.
Jesus.
So,
the only thing it does is when he gets up, he's walking around like he's drunk.
Yeah. Oh, he does this kind of, like, Lou Costello shtick where he's, like, like, trying to get up the stairs, walking all, like, doe legs.
Who are those terrorists at the church? Correct.
So,
hey, I bet.
So, Harry is like, I'm going to go around the back, which is weird. In the back of this place, it's like just any other creepy alley, too. It's very strange.
And when you mean creepy alley, you mean Sheedy.
Alley,
right?
Sheedy, yep. Right. That's correct.
Yeah.
So he gets to the back.
You heard that joke a mile away.
When Harry's going around the backside, Marv tries to open the door, but the handle is attached to a cord. And of course he just keeps pulling it because you've not met Kevin apparently.
Right.
He keeps pulling it.
Why would you keep pulling a cord?
Till it won't go any further. And then he keeps pulling it. You know, I thought this was
a
nail gun.
12 months that you've known this kid.
Yeah. I thought this was a nail gun at first, but it's not as bad. It's a staple gun.
Yeah.
But it's heavy-duty staples, enough to go through a door.
Right. I mean, it's a little less kind of damage-worthy of a brick, but still.
Yeah. So the first one shoots him in the butt. The second one shoots him in the crotch.
And in the face.
And when he drops to his knees, it shoots him in the face, and it actually goes right around the bridge of his nose. Originally, I thought a nail went in his face, and I was so horrified. So Harry, on the other hand, he's behind the house now, and he tries to jump onto the fire escape, but it's covered in, like, some of that monster soap. And, of course, he slides off and just lands on his back. It's a healthy fall, but he's probably okay.
Yeah, but you're not going to get up that quick after that fall.
No. Now, Marv, around front, he kicks in the front door, and he does this... He looks to the left.
I'm in.
And he looks to the right. And he does not see any booby traps, right? No. So he thinks, well, left and right are okay. Up and down are probably all right, too. I'm just going
to
assume they are.
I don't have to look up or down. Yeah. I don't have to look forward.
Yeah. So he takes a big step, and he goes right through a giant hole in the floor, lands one story down directly on his face. And when he gets up, like, he's cracking his neck.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, your neck is broken. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, no, it sounds
like a bag of broken
sounds
glass.
Terrible, you know, he fell through the plot of this part. Big hole that looks like the plot.
Now, Harry hears Kevin inside, and so he opens the back door, and a bag full of wrenches lands on his head.
Like, how many wrenches? Like, I know they were updating this house, but there are at least 200 wrenches in that bag.
It's like...
You
it's
don't
like
need that many wrenches for this renovation.
And it is like a giant bag of like those
Bob Vila
giant
has like
wrenches.
20 maybe on site.
We're not talking little wrenches either. It's those full size like
he would be
monkey
dead.
Wrenches.
He would be dead.
Yeah. So Marv now gets up and he starts wandering over to the other side of the basement. He slips in more monster soap.
Sure, it's everywhere.
Lands on his back and just starts sliding across the floor into the shelf. Now, the shelf topples over onto him, dumping full paint cans all over his head. Like, he should be dead from that, too. Mm. You guys should all be dead.
Well, it gets worse. Keep going.
Yeah. So, Marv then goes to wash himself off and puts his hands on the faucet handles. Which are hooked to a generator.
Generator, yeah.
It's like, this is really...
This seems very twisted.
This is past whimsical, and now we're to, like,
I don't
torturous.
Think it was ever whimsical.
But, so he's getting electrocuted.
Borderline serial killer.
Now, just how it is, he could have died from the electric charge going across
right,
the electricity going across
itself.
His heart from one hand to the
but
other.
Kevin turns it up.
But Kevin then turns the knob up, and you hear it go...
In true fashion, Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
And then at one point, we see his skull.
Oh, no. He's screaming, like, not even, like, he's screaming high-pitched. Like, it is blood-curdling.
His skull.
Yeah. His hair puffs out, and then it's his skeleton.
And I'm like, you're done. You're dead.
Yeah, it's his skeleton. Then he's dead.
You Skeletor, you're dead. Okay. And then he comes back. So I guess He shocked more life.
And
back
so he falls
so you, these
down
guys
to
are
the
immortal.
Ground. Yeah.
Or they're it's part of a video game.
Well, I have a theory.
Three lives.
I have a theory about it, too. But I'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
So now Harry is turning on pull chain lights, which all seem to be okay.
Seems like if there's any, you know, light that you should pull or anything, you should totally do that.
Yeah, totally. That would never be anything. So he gets
Why
to the last
just
one.
Just let it go. Just leave.
Yeah, he gets to the last one, and it turns on a torch, which sets the top of his head on fire.
Yeah, so his toque's on fire.
Yeah. Again, this
That's stocking cap for all you non-Canadians.
Again, this could have killed him. Like, he probably should be dead.
Oh, no.
So
he sticks his head.
But then he realizes it's on fire, so he's walking around, and the water doesn't work. So then he goes to dunk his head in the toilet, which is filled with, like, turpentine or kerosene.
Evidently.
And you just see an explosion through all the windows on the first floor.
You're dead! dead.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yes. But
you
of course
done.
He was just covered in soot. That's all that happened to him. So now Marv sees a rope downstairs.
What did we say? It should have just been a sign to hang yourself.
I thought it was just a noose that said end it.
Just end it. You won't win this.
He's not even playing now. He's just like kill yourself.
So what you should do is just pull on that, because that seems smart.
Well, he tugs on the rope and it doesn't move. So he goes, that's probably fine. So he jumps on the rope to pull himself up, but it's tied to like a 30-plus pound bag of cement.
So it doesn't matter. He's dead anyway.
Yeah. And so it drops on
his
head. Might
as well kill him again.
And he just shakes it off and climbs out. He climbs out on a bunch of stuff. He sees Kevin.
30 pounds of cement just... You've just been electrocuted.
Yeah.
You've had 5 bricks hit you in the head.
Yeah.
And now you have a 30-pound...
paint cans landing on his head from the
and
shelf.
And then 30 pounds of concrete.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So Marv shakes it off.
This is the part of John Hughes I don't like.
He shakes it off and he climbs out. He sees Kevin going to the second floor.
Bueller never had to go through it.
He sees Kevin going to a second floor up this ladder... And he starts yelling for Harry to go hurry and get him. So Harry attempts to follow him up the ladder, but it's booby-trapped. So it's cut so that, like, Kevin's weight doesn't do anything to it. But when Harry is on it, it snaps. And so it falls in half, and Harry falls, like, from the ceiling to the floor and just lands on his face.
Just keep going.
So the men yell that they're coming for Kevin.
Imagine the scene lasts about 20 minutes long.
Yeah. And Kevin says, have you guys tried the stairs?
So well,
I definitely
do,
wouldn't
guy,
now.
This kid has gotten the best of you once, and now he's continually getting the best of you. So you should probably take his advice and walk up the steps.
Yeah.
The dumbest criminals in the world.
Well, so they both run to the steps, but fortunately they do kind of come to their senses a little bit. So he goes, wait, hold on.
Remember last year?
Yeah, remember last time? So Harry pretends like he's coming up the stairs, and a paint bucket goes by them. It doesn't hit them.
Oh, got hit in the face.
Yeah, so then Marv tries it, and a second one comes down.
Oh, my nose.
Yeah, and so they're like, all right, let's go. He's out of paint buckets. That's two. He can't have more than two paint buckets. So then
one ever has more. Right. He had 200 wrenches. But there's no way he has more than two paint buckets.
Well, why would they have? They don't have that many paint brushes they hit him with. So he starts coming. They start going up the stairs.
All their money on wrenches.
They start going up the stairs, and he has ropes tied to like this giant cast iron pipe that seems like it would be way worse than.
Well, it seems
buckets.
Like it would be heavy.
Yeah.
To begin with.
And Kevin got it lifted up. It's okay.
Whatever.
So it comes down. It hits both of them, and they both fly back. Hit their heads on the paint cans that are still hanging there, and then drops them through the hole, which is, you know, over into the left.
At what point are you Joe Pesci? You're like, 2 years ago, I won an Academy Award.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, shit, now I'm doing this.
I don't know. At whatever point Cuba Gooding Jr. was like, I'm in Snow Dogs.
All right, keep going.
So then Kevin cuts the ropes to the pipe, which then rolls down the stairs through the hole, and then smashes them again. Again, you should be dead. They run up the stairs after him. They get out, go up the stairs after him, and they start following him into, like, the attic space, and they rig the door to make a chest, like a tool chest, roll down. Well, they go, what's that sound coming towards the door? What is that? And they listen very intently, like, you don't get out of the way.
I don't know. Are you guys cats? Because that's another one of your lives that's going to end. That's what that sound is. So it's a tool.
Six,
it's a tool thing.
Seven.
Coming to their...
All good girls go to heaven. Anyway, meow said, "Give me a kiss, Santa Claus." So Kevin climbs down. The chest smashes them. It takes the door with them, crushes them behind it. They have to reset their broken noses. So Kevin uses that time.
Right, and Daniel Stern has to, because this is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, it is.
You know, Stern. Anyway.
Kevin climbs down using this rope. They follow him down the rope. Marv says, "Hey, Harry, are you wearing aftershave?" And Harry says,
"Aftershave? Do you think?"
Yeah, right. Harry says, "No, it's kerosene. The rope is soaked in it." Like,
my Old Spice does, you know, smell like after.
Well, why would you even, like, you never thought it's coated in kerosene. The rope is soaked in it. Like, come on. Yeah. What do you think the next step is?
Yeah.
And so Kevin sets the rope on fire. So they're trying to get away from it. And eventually they just let go and they fall like 3 or 4 stories. Land in some scaffolding that's below, and then get covered in like varnish.
Yeah.
So
I think some paint cans fall on them too.
Yes, that's when the varnish pours all over them.
Okay, gotcha.
So now another thing is, if that rope burns and then breaks and falls down in there, they're all gonna be on fire. Oh. Like that varnish is flammable.
You idiot. Whatever.
So
Kevin runs away.
Kevin runs to the payphone where he calls 911, which should have been the one thing he had to do. Call
the
police.
That's the only thing you had to do.
Yeah, call the police. They'll be there. So he's doing that while the thieves are laying dying back there. He tells them to get to Central Park. There are two guys after him. They have a gun.
They're
look
the
for the fireworks.
Doesn't he say they're the wet bandits?
I don't remember if he says that or not.
I don't know.
They're
the guys who robbed Duncan's.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's what he says.
So he's running towards Central Park, and he slips and falls on the ice. And while he's laying there and he's kind of dazed, they catch up with him. And so they're like, "We're going to finish you off, kid." Now, knowing Kevin, like they should at this point, the whole time he's been luring them into one trap after the other. Now, if he was heading towards Central Park, I would be taking him away from Central Park.
Yeah.
Like, why keep going the way that
these
was going?
These are the guys that think aftershave smells like so, Jeremy, they're not the sharpest, you know.
That's
they're not
true.
The sharpest wrench that fell out of the bag.
So they continue to take him to the park. So they're just planning on shooting him.
Yeah.
So they take the gun out. And, of course, it's all coated.
They're going to kill a kid again.
Yeah, you know. So it's all coated in varnish also. And while they're talking, Marv notices all the birds that are around. And he's like, "Hey, something's wrong." They're still talking. And then you see Pigeon Lady shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Run, Kevin." And she takes bird seed.
No, she doesn't. She says, "Run, Kevin." Do it in an Irish accent.
"Run, Kevin."
Good. That's what she does.
So
start with your left foot, Kevin.
Get off on the right foot, the left foot. So she throws birdseed all over them, and then pigeons savagely attack Harry and Marv.
Right.
It
looks like they actually had birds.
They did
on them.
They did. So the police show up.
I think Daniel he sets one off time eats some of the feathers on accident.
Probably.
It's disgusting.
So Daniel Stern is committed to his craft.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
So they set the fireworks off.
Well, he used to be.
Yeah. He still is.
What's he do now?
He's acted.
Is he more voice acting?
Oh, he does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah,
stuff,
I was gonna say it was a good voice. Arnold.
He was in Whip It.
Okay.
That with Ellen Page.
Oh, I thought you meant the Devo video for Whip It.
No.
Okay.
He's the lady with the blindfold. And
he is committed. All right, go ahead.
But so Kevin sets off the fireworks so the police can find him. So the police show up, and Kevin has left them a tape of their confession that he recorded earlier, and the pictures of them in the store. So they get arrested. And of course, like, Marv just is talking and just makes it worse. But that's the end of them. They're going back to jail. Now, Mr. Duncan is at his store trying to get the money to the children's hospital. And the police say, you know, hey, we recovered all of it. And he goes, I better get that there tonight then. They find the note that came on the brick that Kevin threw through the window. He apologizes and says it was to catch the bad guys so the money could go to those kids. You know, do you have insurance? If you don't, I'll pay for it. That's what I was like, oh, Kevin. And he said, you know, thanks again, P.S., thanks for the turtle doves. And that's when Mr. Duncan knows who it was who did that for him. Now, Kate, she's walking through a pre-cleaned up Times Square, it looks like. So it's still pretty dingy from back in the day. She stops and talks to a cop who asks her to put herself in Kevin's shoes. Like, where would he go? Where would you go if you were him? And she realizes that earlier all he wanted was a Christmas tree for Christmas. So she asks the police to take her to Rockefeller Center. Kevin is in front of the Christmas tree. I think he's praying to the pagan gods of Yule in front of the tree. Just saying, all I want is my mom to come back. And but right then his mom finds him.
Yeah, magically.
And they reconcile. Well, she figured out that's where he'd be. So.
I mean, he likes Christmas trees.
Yeah. So now Christmas morning, they're sweet. They wake up.
It's sweet, man. This thing is awesome.
It is. It's got multi-levels to it. It's cool. But they wake
spiral
up.
Spiral staircase, slip and slide. That's got everything.
It's water filled slide. With, but it's filled with presents.
Yeah.
So Mr. Duncan had them sneak in with presents and, like, give everybody presents in the night.
Okay. Yeah. What do you do, Mr. Duncan? Oh, yeah, you run a toy store. Never mind.
Yeah.
What do you do, Peter?
So everyone tears into the starting to tear into the presents, but Buzz.
Did you say tear into the president?
Presents.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That was future. Sorry. Go ahead.
So now Buzz, in this like rare moment of kindness, suggests Kevin opens the first present since he kind of made all this
very
happen.
Nice of you, Buzz. Thank you for not being a buzzkill.
So everyone tears into the presents. Kevin manages to leave the hotel unnoticed, get dressed and leave to go see the pigeon lady. Like, they're okay with him wandering through New York because they have presents to entertain them.
Right. They just got him back. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
We lost him again.
So Kevin gives pigeon lady one of his turtle doves so that they'll always be friends.
Nice. Nice touch.
Yeah.
Don't think the lady, the bird lady, just wants to give her, I don't know, it's Christmas. Give her, invite her in.
Yeah.
Give her a gift. Give her a nice meal. Yeah.
Here you go.
But instead, no.
Here's the talk girl. So the bellman brings their bill. Kevin apparently spent $967 and some change on room service.
43 cents.
43 cents.
I just made that up.
Buzz rats Kevin out on this. And goes and tells his dad. And, of course, you hear Peter yell all the way from the hotel into Central Park.
You can hear him all the way in Central Park.
Yeah.
Kevin!
You spent $967 on room service.
And then credits.
Yeah, and then Kevin runs into the park in credits.
And you've been deuced.
Yep. Now, I told you I was going to tell you what my theory was.
Oh, please.
I think that Harry and Marv did something bad, like, when they were alive, but they're actually dead now. They're just in like they're like in Hades and Tartarus where they're like living out punishments over and over. They just live out getting their asses kicked and being humiliated by 10-year-old children over and over.
The same 10-year-old child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people have thought of it. Now keep in mind, the review I'm going to read from you is from 2005.
Okay.
It's D-Red is their name. They give it an 8 out of 10. They say, I love it. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, is young Macaulay Culkin's second greatest hour in the series as Kevin McAllister. Yeah, because there's only two of them with him in it. Who has to learn to be a man again on the mean streets of Big Apple after being separated from his family once again. He checks into a swank Manhattan hotel where Donald Trump is apparently staying at, too. No, you moron. He owned it. The hotel. Okay. He's pursued again by comic bad guys Harry and Marv. Director Christopher Columbus and screenwriter John Hughes keep the actions and laughs coming. Tim Curry also appears as the concierge who has to prove that Kevin is on his own. And Brenda Fricker is the pigeon lady, like we said. There's another trick and traps showdown at the end, which keeps slapstick and comic violence at an all-time high. That's what they said.
Hold on. So I think it's weird that he thinks it's less believable that Donald Trump would have been staying there than Harry and Marv relocating from Chicago and managing to meet up with Kevin in New York again.
Yeah, don't try to figure out. Okay. Jeremy, it's fine. Okay. This person is fuzziness. They gave it a 1 out of 10, but it says a masterpiece.
What?
This is really a masterpiece of American children's cinema. It manages to be obnoxiously preachy and stick sweetie one moment, and then violent, offensive, and stupid the next. If your kid really has a sick sense of humor, this is the perfect movie. However, if you don't think you'll enjoy seeing a guy get hit on the head repeatedly by a brick and have 100 volts pumped into him while using the sink, then you might want to look into something else. Yeah, so I don't know why you labeled your review a masterpiece.
Yeah. I bet they're fun at parties.
I bet they are, too.
That seems a little extreme.
I have fun at parties, but when I have fun at parties, I usually ask 5 questions to my...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to my party.
Can I guess what they are?
No, but speaking of 5 questions, we've got 5 questions, too.
Well, what I was going to guess was the first question would be, what is the best part of this film?
I don't ask them that, but our questions.
Yes, what is the best part of that film?
Actually, there's a lot of this movie I actually did enjoy. Mm-hmm. My favorite parts are Brenda Fricker.
Yep.
Tim Curry. Mm-hmm. Tim Curry's amazing. I love Tim Curry in this. He's actually my favorite part of this.
Yeah.
But I actually give kudos, and you might... I don't like the whole Harry and Marv plot. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think Daniel Stern has great comic timing in this.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think you could just cut that whole plot out.
Yeah,
and have a different movie.
Well, why? I was almost
why have that in there?
Why have that in there? Why don't you have him running from the hotel staff and do more trappy stuff with
where the hotel staff is up to no good?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He finds out that Tim Curry. Yeah. He's doing something bad.
And you have perfect. You have Dana Ivey, Tim Curry, and Rob Schneider doing stuff.
All people with good comic timing. Well, 2 people with good comic timing.
All 3 one of those with, do.
Yeah, no, Rob Schneider does. But you have people that you could actually build something on. Why rehash it?
Yes, agreed.
That
agreed.
But having said that, Daniel Stern has good comic timing.
Yes. So. I loved Brenda Fricker in this, but I would say Tim Curry is probably my favorite. But he's not in enough.
No, not enough.
Also, when Kevin is sweet and when he's helping people, I really like those parts of it.
Kudos to Macaulay Culkin for keeping it together on those.
Well, and that's the other thing. Macaulay Culkin, usually his acting, I'm very take it or leave it. When he's trying to be I'm lying and telling a story, it sounds really fake to me, and I'm always it doesn't seem like he acted it very well.
He's more mature in this, obviously, so he's acting a lot better, and you can tell he's had more experience.
Well, and normally I don't think he acts that well at stuff, but when he does the whole it's like my roller skates. It was it sounded more natural to me, and I was I liked when he did that, or there's certain moments where he did so much better. Reboot, continue, or cancel? I'll start. I'll say continue. And I would almost screw the third and the fourth. Like, The third movie was just some rando kid where terrorists invaded his suburban neighborhood. And I don't even know what the fourth one was about. But it was like probably made for TV.
Mm-hmm.
I would continue with the McAllister family.
Okay. I was going to agree with you.
And maybe it's Buzz and like his kids.
Okay. Like, I was actually going to have Macaulay Culkin. I said reboot and have Macaulay Culkin as married and with kids himself. And then they have a daughter that's kind of
nice
in kind of the troublemaker.
Like
the
Girl Meets World situation.
Yeah, kind of in a way.
See, I was going to say Buzz and then Buzz could see, like, his son, who was almost like Kevin, where he was kind of bullied a little bit. And he could, you know, you knew that we could kind of get redemption for Buzz because now he would see what it was like to be on the other side of that. Or, like, Fuller or something. Like, hell.
Yeah, something like
when
that.
When the third movie happened, instead of starting it over, why didn't you put Fuller? And you could have had Kieran Culkin do stuff.
You know?
Who, if for my money, I'd take Kieran Culkin over Macaulay Culkin any day.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
See, I say no.
No, I think it does.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because they're so dependent on saying, like, the Wet Bandits, this and this, and they recognize Kevin, which is what starts that off. Like, if... But,
I mean, you use the whole thing on Die Hard... We just apparently know that these two know each other. We just don't know how.
Yeah.
I guess if you're going to do it that route, then it doesn't. Because if you didn't know the first movie, you wouldn't know who these bandits were.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It would. There wouldn't have... There'd be no reason for the antagonizing.
If you take that out, I think it does.
Yes, I would agree. If you took that out, it would stand
on
its
own. Which I think you should have.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't put those in there. Those guys in there. Would have been... This is a 2.5... Like, I liked Home Alone, the first movie.
Yeah.
This is a 2.5 star movie.
Yeah, agreed.
It could have been a 4.
Yep.
Or a 3.5.
I would agree. Does it make you want to watch the first movie?
No. Absolutely not.
No?
No.
It makes me want to.
I don't.
Because there's bits of it where I was like... Because, like, the thing with the shower scene with the puppet, whatever, and, like, the... Or the keep the change, you filthy animal piece of it. Like, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, they did that better in the first one. Which made me think,
no,
like, maybe
they did
I don't
that first of the first one.
Yeah, that's true.
I actually think that the gags worked a little bit better in this one.
You really?
I think so. Up to the point, again, the crooks don't need to be in this movie.
Agreed.
If the crooks aren't in this movie, it's, I think, better than the first one.
Yeah.
That's why I like this. I like this one better because of that.
Yeah.
I could skip that 20 minutes at the end and then just go to Kevin finding his mom.
Yep.
But I think it works.
What are you, two words. Sum up your experience in two words.
Go ahead.
Saw prequel.
You and yours now.
I
was going to say Sliding Doors. And the reason why I said Sliding Doors because it was kind of like... It was kind of like, what if, like, the writer, like, John Hughes, I felt like he was like, what if instead he gets on a different plane? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I felt. So I was like, a what-if scenario.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, that's what he was doing when he was writing this. Hello, maybe this over here.
See, I thought...
So I don't know.
Saw a prequel because Kevin comes up with, like, he's not just like, hey... I'm going to knock you out. He's like, I'm going to set your head on fire and then dump turpentine on you. Like
I'm
he's,
going to.
He seriously, it's sadistic. And it is. It's almost like
it
Saw
is.
Where it's like cause and effect, like goofy traps. And so like maybe that should be the sequel. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe it should just be called Alone. And it's not like Home Alone. It's Kevin who now... has gotten a taste for blood,
please,
and he's trying to kill Harry and Marv.
Do you think he's Patrick Bateman?
Yeah.
All right, you've been deuced, guys, on this one. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
We appreciate you listening to this. This is our last holiday movie. Actually, it's not our last holiday movie. We actually have one more holiday movie coming up. It's our last Christmas holiday movie.
Yes.
We do have a nice special treat for you. Yes. What are we doing next, Jeremy, for New Year's Eve?
For New Year's Eve, we have Ghostbusters 2.
Ah, we get to do Ghostbusters 2.
Which takes place on New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve, so we are going to do that. Where can people find us, Jeremy?
They can find us at the Deuce Podcast.podbean.com.
Fake news.
Stitcher.
Fake news.
iTunes.
Fake news.
Google Play Music.
That's okay.
The best. It's huge.
It's huge.
So you can find us at those, or you can find us on Facebook.
Facebook, no.
What? Really?
That's from China.
From China. So you can find us on Facebook. We like to talk to folks on there and have all sorts of information.
The Russians.
So just feel free to reach out to us there. Post what you like. Just talk with us. Other than that, I think that's a wrap.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
And I'm going to let you do it because it's my Christmas gift to you.
Does this mean you didn't buy me stuff? Or?
I bought it. You know I did.
Well, as the saying goes...
The sequel is king!
Oh.
Go ahead, say it.
The sequel is king.